everything you know will change.
I'd like to have everybody's attention for a moment.
You the man.
What's that mean? You the man.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now all of a sudden you're stepping up to the next level of competition.
All right, listen up.
Welcome to The Rundown. Here's Desmond Johnson.
It is Saturday, Sports Hub fans, and welcome to The Rundown. Boogie Cousins, the NFL, college football, Bowman Gray, and more. We'll get it all together for you so you can get ready for your weekend. I'm your host, Desmond Johnson. In studio, I'm joined by my crew. My man, Rod Funderburk, is here. Brandon Blakeney in the house.
Yes, sir.
My producer, Sawyer Dillon, running the ones and twos per usual. Aaron Gabriel in the house, man, in our social media. 336-777-1600 is the number to call in to chime in on any of our topics today. And we got a loaded show, so let's dive right into it. First, though, as you know, we usually give a Twitter poll question during the rundown, and we've got one that's Panther themed since they took on the Buffalo Bills and kind of stunk it up last night. Aaron, what is our Twitter poll question for this beautiful Saturday morning?
Good morning, sports fans. Twitter poll question for today: who is the most important player suiting up for the Panthers this season, not named Cameron Newton? Is it Christian McCaffrey, Greg Olsen, or one Luke Kuechly?
All right, and you can hit us up on Twitter at SportsHubTriad or at SportsCarolina1 to comment on the show, any of the topics we got going on. We are going to start off with NFL football. There's a lot of news to get to in the NFL football world. Sometime in the second hour, we are going to give away, I've got a 4-pack of tickets to the Virginia International Raceway WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, August 23rd through the 25th. That's next weekend. I've got 4 tickets sitting in my hand right now that we're going to give away in the 11 o'clock hour. So definitely keep listening for that. We'll probably do some trivia or something, make you work for it a little bit. Fellas, what's going on this morning? How y'all doing?
Hey, alive and healthy, Diz. I can't complain, man.
This NFL stuff, it's a little crazy, so we're going to try to dive into it. Before we get into the Jay-Z, Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reed NFL situation. Yeah. Before we do that, though, I want to talk a little bit about the Panthers last night. They kicked off game 2 of the preseason with a match against the Buffalo Bills. Did you guys get a chance to see this game, any of it?
Yeah, it was horrible,
to be honest. It was kind of trash.
It was not. We could take the Conda out. It was garbage, man. I know you can't put a lot in the preseason football and yada yada, but they're unsigned players, and they're guys that they're trying to make the team look a lot hungrier than the Panthers' young guys that are trying to make this team.
Yeah. Defensive tackle Gerald McCoy called preseason games glorified practice. And I have to agree, it looked like the Panthers took it as practice last night. And it is preseason. The games don't count, so we shouldn't really fret too much about what we saw. But there was a lot of first-string guys in there last night, and I didn't really see, what's the word? I didn't see like a spark from the Panthers last night. They were kind of just dead on arrival when they walked on the field.
Facts. Nobody was tackling. I mean, you see that dudes were just in the open field. Oh my gosh, man.
I mean, it made you feel like that 3-4 defense was suspect.
There's some guys in the middle of it that aren't going to be week one. Like, yeah. Vernon Butler has been getting pushed around.
Yes, sir.
Like, I mean,
surprising.
There was no first round pick.
He's a big boy, yeah, too.
There was no penetration. The Buffalo Bills, that offensive line did what they wanted to do with the Carolina Panthers defensive line, which is a bad sign. I know it's NFL preseason, but I'm sorry. How you practice is how you play.
That's
and if
right.
they call it glorified practice, then that's going to be how they're going to play. But hopefully they'll get this thing changed. They'll go look at some film this week. Ron Rivera kick a little butt. Ron Rivera point out and highlight some names that are possibly going to get cut off of the list, and maybe these guys will step it up and get moving in the direction that they need to go.
I'm hoping people are going to back off of this whole Will Greer is going to take Cam Newton's starting spot because after last night, I mean, I said last week, Will Greer is not ready to do anything in an NFL game. And I think last night confirmed it in my mind because, I mean, yes, he's out there against some first stringers, mainly second string guy. Well, actually, by the time Will Greer got in there, it was mainly second and third string out there.
Yeah.
He went 10 for 19 for 75 yards, no touchdowns, and one extremely bad interception that he threw.
Pick six. Yeah, like Kevin 80 Johnson,
plus yards.
Wake Forest, former Wake Forest guy.
That must have been why the cheer went up in the stadium, because the guy intercepted and a cheer went up. And I'm like, what in the world? And then they announced the guy's name.
First round pick, Wake Forest this
local
year.
Boy.
Yeah. My thing is, Will Grier to me right now is not a glorified backup, because he hasn't even earned the glorified title, but he's a backup with some upside because he's young and he's not afraid to try and attempt to make the big throw. But his main focus right now needs to be locking down the backup position behind Cam Newton, learning from Cam Newton.
Well, right now he's in the three. He's in the number three spot behind Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen's been playing probably better. Actually, Taylor Heinicke played really well last night.
Taylor Heinicke's really looked the best out of those guys. Kyle Allen, 4 for 11, 32 yards. That Will Grier interception, though, like you mentioned before, I had to go back to it. It looked bad.
He threw it straight to the dude. Like, literally, like, I mean, the guy jumped the route, but, I mean, he already knew where the ball was going before it left Grier's hands.
There were two guys that were right there. So, I mean, if Johnson wouldn't have caught it, I'm sure the other guy might have took it to the house.
336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on the disgusting performance of the Panthers preseason game two. I do have Kevin Avery from the Four Man Rush podcast on the line to discuss last night's preseason game versus the Bills. Plus, he's been hanging out at Panthers training camp, which wrapped up this past week. Got Kevin on for a couple minutes this morning, and then we're going to move over into this Jay-Z conversation. Kev, what's going on, man? What's up, brother?
Hey, Des, what's going on? Good to be speaking with you guys again.
Now, you were at the game last night at Bank of America Stadium, right?
Yeah, I definitely was.
Man, he said like you were ashamed to admit that you were there.
What's the first thing?
I've been watching the film.
I mean, you said that like, hey, don't tell nobody.
Yeah, I was there.
I ducked up out of here.
What do you think? What's the main thing that stuck out to you last night, being there in person, watching? Granted, you know, Cam Newton didn't play, Luke didn't play, Shaq was out. McCaffrey didn't play. So, I mean, critical parts of both the offense and defense did not play last night. And it sounds like they're going to play them next week at New England pretty deep, and then they'll probably miss all fourth game too, which I'm totally fine with. But what was the one thing that stood out to you, good and bad, from what you saw last night?
All right, well, for me, the good, and this will be a quick part because the bad is going to be a little bit longer, but the good part that stood out for me, just an overall summary, was the play of our running backs. Jordan Scarlett looked nice. Reggie Bonifant is continuing to show that he's kind of been like a hidden gem that's finally getting his time. And Holyfield showing that he can hold on to the ball and make a few good cuts. So the running backs are definitely the players that I noticed stood out last night. Also the play of number 43 at linebacker. I think his name's Kaczynski. I keep messing up. I got a contract sent, but he played well. He's really flying to the ball. He is going to push. I hope he pushed Jared Norris for his linebacker spot because he was god awful again. it's like he's allergic to pass coverage. As far as the bad spots, I mean, Dez, you know me. I've been a big Butler fan from day one.
You have.
He's officially on my feces list, and I'm gonna say because I know you got listeners, but yeah, I'm tired. I've been going to war. I've been catching it. You've seen me from the fitness guy. His play is just absolutely. It don't even matter your first round pick as a defensive tackle. You're just getting blown off the ball like you're a tight on a 40 mile per hour windy day at the beach. It makes no sense. I'm fed up with Vernon Butler. It's just hard to defend that, man.
You were one of the main defenders for Vernon Butler for the past 2+ years that I can remember in the Panther groups that we're in together. And I was with you for a bit because he's a first rounder, and I want to give him a shot. Yeah, I mean, he was literally probably the last first rounder that Dave Gettleman picked for us, wasn't he?
Gettleman picked was McCaffrey.
That's right. It was the year before he got Butler.
In 2016.
That's right. So I don't think Butler's going to get extended. it seems like every time I see him on the screen, he's getting shoved to the left or to the right of my screen. Like, sometimes it's just like, dude, like, it looks like you're on skates and you're the defender. Like, like it shouldn't look this way.
He looks soft out there, man.
It doesn't look like he wants it or something. No. I don't know. But, I mean, I would think I would take the opportunity. I mean, you got – think about that defensive tackle room. You got Gerald McCoy in there. You got KK Short in there. You got Dontari Poe. Mm-hmm. You would think that he would absorb some stuff from them in what, this is year four? No, this is year five for him, isn't it? No, year four. This
no,
is year
this
four
is
for him.
Year, this year four, yeah. He didn't get his fifth year.
Yeah,
watching him play defensive tackles like watching a team from the ATL where they're just all on rollerblades. Like, he's just literally just getting blown back. He's not, when he get a double team block, he's not dropping to his knee and turning sideways to clog up the gap. I mean, he's pretty much letting whoever blocks him have their way, whether it's single-handed or double team. Butler is officially on my list.
Got Kevin Avery from the Four-Man Rush with us here discussing the Panthers' display, if you want to call it that, from last night. Again, it's preseason week number two, so we're not going to overreact to what we saw last night because we didn't have everybody out there. But I was taken aback by the number of holding calls last night. There was a lot of them on both sides. Is that more from the refs like doing this? Because you see this every preseason.
It was a sloppy game.
It was a sloppy game. There was a couple of stretches where it was a flag every play for like an entire
maybe
drive.
Ron Rivera should have let them fight in practice. You know, Ron Rivera put up a big deal saying, hey, if you fight in practice, you're going to get your head taken
off. Aggression
and out. I tell you what, he should have let them fight. Maybe the game would have been better.
Well, I noticed Greg Little last night a little bit, having some rookie issues. What have you seen with Greg Little, the left tackle that they've drafted that they're depending a lot on? Him and Dennis Daly, actually, the late-round pick that we had, was out there for most of the second quarter into the third, if I'm not mistaken. What have you seen from Little and Daly, and how far along do you think Greg Little's going to be? Do you think he's going to be starting week one?
No, I don't think Greg Little's going to be starting week one. Yes, I get it. He was dubbed, quote, you know, the future franchise left tackle, but he's going to take some time. Now, talents and tools-wise, he's got it. But going from a pass-heavy set to what he was doing at Ole Miss to what we do here, it's going to be a huge difference. His footwork is still a work in progress, even though I am seeing it trending in the right direction. You know, you're going to take your lumps playing left tackle. I mean, think about it. You're playing the best athletic, you know, edge rushers out there. So you're going to take your lumps. So Darrell Williams at left tackle, I think, is going to be the better choice starting out. I think giving Greg Little time to be groomed by John Masco would be best overall. As far as Dennis Daly, he's surprising me. You know, a lot of people kind of just laugh when we draft him in the sixth round, but he's playing both guard and both tackle positions, pretty much rotating anywhere on the offensive line outside of center. He's showing promise. He needs to get his pads lower, but he definitely gets a good pop, and when he gets his feet moving, he's moving people out of the way. So, again, typical rookie stuff, you know, going to have flashes, but definitely a work in progress. But both of them are slowly trending in the right direction. Just got to have time with them.
So next week, week three, really the one preseason game where we get to see the starters a large chunk of minutes, and it does sound like Cam Newton, Luke Kuechly, Shaq Thompson, C-Mac, all these guys are going to be playing probably through most of the first half. You got to expect that New England will have most of their first string out there. I would imagine Tom Brady will play, but again, Tom Brady's 42, so there's no telling if he's going to get out there or not. We'll have you back next week to discuss that game. It's Thursday at 7:30, a week three matchup here in the preseason. Kev, tell everybody where they can go, and because I know Four-Man Rush, you guys break down game tape, and I'm sure you're going to have some stuff on this preseason game later this week. Tell the listening audience where they can find the Four-Man Rush online.
Yeah, online, you can go to our website, www.ZTAG4ManRush.com. It's our website. You'll be able to find all of our video breakdowns on YouTube. You can catch our podcast on Podbean, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're constantly updating that as well. That's the best place to get access to the Four-Man Rush. And we look forward to continue bringing you detailed content, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. And that's how we roll with the Four-Man Rush.
All right, brother. That's Kevin Avery from the Four-Man Rush podcast. We appreciate you being on with us, man, and we'll talk to you next week. So I do want to get into this Jay-Z situation because it has exploded over the past 48 hours or so. It went from, I call it fake hate towards Jay-Z online, from people saying he had sold out Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid by going into this agreement with the NFL. If you're living under a rock or you're not aware of what's going on, Jay-Z and the NFL announced a partnership earlier this week where he's going to basically become their musical brand ambassador, which means basically he'll be helping them plan the Super Bowl and other musical things that have to do with the NFL.
And making sure they're in touch with the culture.
Right.
Kind of more like NBA-like.
So they've partnered, right. So they've partnered up with Jay to do this. Because of that, there was a lot of backlash that Jay was turning his back on Colin Kaepernick, who still is unemployed in the NFL. Eric Reed had some comments about this.
Strong comments.
Everyone that knows me, I usually write the rundown on Fridays. So no matter what happens, usually something happens after I write the show that I have to go in and change things with. And it's usually between Friday night and the Saturday morning. And this week, yesterday, actually, we were done doing the drive, the news started to leak out that a source with knowledge of the situation told TMZ that Jay-Z will have significant ownership interest in an NFL team. The insider said that Jay decided to make the move now because, quote, he's a huge fan, he already has a sports business, and he wants to continue to be a change agent for the NFL. He previously was a minority owner of the Brooklyn Nets. He has sold that off over the past couple of years. And this comes on the heels of Roc Nation's partnership with the league. Now, Jay is not an agent, so that wouldn't get in the way of him becoming a franchise owner. But majority franchise owner, there's never been a minority in that role in the NFL. And for me personally, my take of this whole thing, I've said from the very beginning, it didn't make me look at Jay-Z any differently yesterday than I looked at him last Saturday. Like, seeing him do this, my first thought I had was, well, Jay's getting something out of it. It's not just Jay don't need the NFL. He's a billionaire right now.
Not
like, he don't need them. They kind of need him to kind of try to right the ship of some of the things that they've been accused of over the past couple of years. And it's funny because I was on Facebook earlier yesterday commenting on a friend's post. They were talking about Jay selling out and blah, 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 and this and that. And I wrote down literally, it's going to be funny in 5 or 8 years when Jay-Z is the first black owner of an NFL franchise. Everybody's going to look back to this week and be like, oh, I didn't see the long game. I didn't understand what he was doing. I didn't realize 6 hours later it was going to come out that they're kind of doing this now. So I wanted to put this to the panel. I've got Aaron and Sawyer in the studio to get their thoughts about this as well. Do you think any differently of Jay-Z? Like, do you feel like he sold out Colin Kaepernick? Because they did talk at the beginning of the week, but Jay-Z does not work for Colin Kaepernick.
I heard the conversations didn't go too high.
Right.
But for me, I don't want to say sold out, and I want to reference a piece by Jemele Hill that was really dope that she wrote for The Atlantic. And I don't feel like you can say he sold out. What he's done for the culture, what he's already previously done, you know, hiring, doing legal work with people, hiring lawyers, giving money to foundations, starting foundations, just the support that he's shown overall to the cause.
Him and Beyonce do a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and they don't go looking for credit for it either. You see a lot of, you find out after the fact that they did something in the prison system or whatnot.
So I don't think you could ever say Jay-Z sold out. Now, did he do something that's going to benefit him personally? Yeah, he did. And I am looking at him different. I'm looking at him as a groundbreaker, as a trendsetter now.
Me
because
too.
Having a minority break the good old boys club in the NFL?
It only took, what, like 100 years for this to even potentially happen? It hasn't officially happened yet.
This is a serious power move. This is a next level bag we're
talking
about here,
fellas. I'm going to be mad if Russian bots put this story out online just to get all of us chirping about Jay-Z and
and then
ownership.
He drops an album or something.
Yeah, then he drops like an album.
Like,
they just loaded all iPhones or something.
I understand where Eric Reed's coming from, but I also felt Jay-Z's his comments that when he was like, you know, this is the next step. When you do protest, you know, you got to do the groundwork, but then the next step is coming in and finding some mutual ground to solve the problem. And I understand that. But I also understand Eric Reed's side, too. I mean, he has a right to be upset. That's his guy. But nobody's telling him to sit out football games for Colin either.
Now, Eric Reed had some comments.
Strong comments
regarding this once it leaked out yesterday. Eric Reed said, quote, Jay-Z claimed to be a supporter of Colin, wore his jersey, told people not to perform at the Super Bowl because of the treatment that the NFL did to Colin, and now he's going to be a part owner? It's kind of despicable, he told reporters inside the locker room. He also accused the NFL in a tweet Thursday of getting to, quote, hide behind Jay-Z's black face to cover up blackballing Colin Kaepernick.
In my opinion, I think he's a short-sighted idiot, pretty much.
Who? Which one?
Reed. Oh, okay. Reed is, definitely. I mean,
I know you're talking about Jay or who. Like, who's...
So let me tell you this. If Jay-Z decides not to partner with the NFL, what happens with Colin Kaepernick?
He's still unemployed.
Yeah. Okay, so if Jay-Z becomes an owner and it happens fairly fast, is there an option that Colin Kaepernick could potentially get a shot or a tryout at Jay-Z's team? Is that a potential?
I don't see why not if he gets, you know.
All right, so you have to sometimes put action behind things instead of just talking about it. You know what I mean? So what if Jay-Z's going to make some money? That's what he's in the business to do.
That's what he does.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does.
He told us that.
And in this particular case right here, it doesn't mean he's forgotten about Colin Kaepernick. Sometimes maybe you have to be silent right now in order to be loud for someone later on. Mm-hmm. And I think Reed is very short-sighted, just like you just said. Reed isn't sitting out. He isn't paying Colin Kaepernick's
bills. Talk your talk, Rod.
Yeah, I mean, he's not doing it.
Now, Aaron, you got something you want to add in? Chime in?
Yeah. So what was the primary cause or the cause that Colin Kaepernick wanted to bring attention to when he started kneeling?
Police brutality.
Social injustice.
Police brutality specifically. Yeah.
What are we talking about right now?
Jay-Z becoming a majority owner.
We're talking about a game. And one or two people, three people's money. The facts are this, and this is according to the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the United States of America. One in 1,000 black men and boys in America can expect to die at the hands of police.
I believe it.
That's as of August 16th, 2019. That makes them 2.5 times more likely than white men to die during an encounter with police officers. Through the ages of 20 and 24, 1.6 of all deaths are related to police encounters. That's compared to 1.2% of Latin and Native Americans and just 0.5% for white men. All of the things that we're discussing are well and good. Jay-Z is a businessman. He's allowed to make his money. That's one person. Eric Reed is an athlete. His job is to play football. He can make his money. That's great.
He's employed by the league.
The NFL has a PR problem.
Yeah.
That's it, point blank, period.
For sure.
Jay-Z has been a minority owner before. Less than 1%. He's going to be a minority owner again. So all of that is well and good again. But what have we done to address what Colin Kaepernick knelt for in the very beginning? What have we done to address corrupt police departments? What have we done to partner with the Department of Justice to implement new processes and changes across the board to prevent things like this from happening? Well, nothing. Well, and here we are shifting the narrative again from black people dying in the streets.
I don't think it's so much shifting the narrative.
How is it not shifting the narrative? We're talking about Jay-Z's money.
I think it's a different conversation.
I'll put it like this.
We wouldn't even be having the conversation right now about police brutality if it wasn't for Colin Kaepernick starting what he did.
Exactly.
Like, I don't think he thought that him kneeling was going to change the world. I think his position was he wanted to put awareness on the situation so that change could start to happen. Jay's coming at it as, in his words, as a change agent. He feels like I can't affect how the NFL acts going forward unless I'm a part of the NFL. And
what
he's really only
the
few people
have
that can
to
do
that. With police killing people in the street?
It has nothing to do with the police
nothing.
Killing people in the street. But it's a platform. It's one of the biggest platforms in the country. So
true.
if you want to give awareness to a topic like that,
we know
what better stage
it.
To do
I
it
just
on
read
than
facts
there.
Off to you. We know we have the awareness.
Right.
What are we doing?
We're trying to get
no,
into
we're
this.
We're not trying
this
to do anything.
To do this.
We're arguing about Jay-Z's money and whether or not
he's not about
Colin Kaepernick.
It's not about Jay-Z's money. It's about the perception of the black community towards Jay-Z for joining potentially the NFL in a large role where they look at it like Jay-Z is selling out Colin Kaepernick for joining the league that's blackballed Colin Kaepernick. It's not about police brutality. It's become about Colin Kaepernick.
But it
that's
should
not
be about
fault.
Police brutality is my point.
It should
agreed.
Be.
That's what it
agreed.
Should be about.
Yeah, no one's arguing
but
that.
It's being overshadowed.
But that's not
right
the
now.
Story. That's not what this is. This is Jay-Z becoming the first black owner of
and
an NFL franchise.
And that's my problem, because that amounts to a hill of beans compared to what I just read to you.
But they're not, one they're not one connected.
But they should be.
Why? Why does
because
Jay-Z have
Colin
to?
Because Colin Kaepernick's whole point in the beginning was to protest police brutality.
Right.
Period.
What does that have to do with
discussion?
Jay-Z?
What does that have to do with what?
Jay-Z. What does that have to do with Jay-Z and his business?
Nothing.
So why are they connected? That's what I'm saying.
Which
why would
point.
They be connected?
They should not be connected. The fact that Colin Kaepernick did what he did to bring attention to police brutality and with the hopes of having some systemic change so that we don't have to – personally, for myself, I have had multiple encounters with police officers where I fear for my life. I've had a gun pulled on me.
Everyone here has probably had something similar.
I'm not speaking for myself because I don't know. I've had a gun pulled on me, held to my head. I've been stalked by a police officer for more than an hour. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Like, so wait, but we're getting away from the actual topic, though, which is the Jay-Z NFL thing. Like, I'm not saying that none of that exists because I've had that happen to me. I've been frisked on Main Street before in the middle of the night. I've been in handcuffs before.
But to me, that is the problem.
That is a problem,
was the problem that Colin Kaepernick knelt for in the beginning.
I understand.
So the
fact
that we have Jay-Z comes in, he becomes whatever partner with the NFL to put on some halftime shows, whoop de doo.
Yeah.
That's great. If he wants to be a minority owner, be the first minority owner in the NFL, that's flipping great. I got no problem with all of that. However, it amounts to the hill of beans in comparison to what should have been the topic all along.
That's no one's disagreeing with that.
The fact that we're not talking about it is troubling.
But we are talking about it. That's the point. We're talking about it right now. We've talked about it for 3 years.
Because if I would have came in with an angle saying about between Jay-Z and Colin Kaepernick, none of us would have mentioned police brutality on this panel.
Jay wouldn't even be a topic if that hadn't happened 3 years before.
Police brutality made this possible.
And I'm up against a break. Plus, my whole thing on this is, yes, all of that is true, but Jay-Z should not be the weight bearer for everything that's been put against black people over the past 350 years.
He's not.
So then we shouldn't have to put Colin Kaepernick's name in this just because Jay-Z is involved with it and he was supporting Colin Kaepernick's right to kneel.
I think what people are saying is that Jay-Z swooped. Colin Kaepernick lost a lot.
He sacrificed his NFL career
on him not having a job.
He sacrificed his NFL career.
He is comfortable.
He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
He got Nike money. He's going to be okay.
It's not Jay-Z's job to take up every single cause there is out there. It just isn't. Now, I'm not saying that cause is not valuable and it's not worth Jay-Z's time, nor am I saying that Jay-Z's not going to approach that once he's in a position of power. What good does it do for just that platform? Like, the NFL is one of the biggest stages in entertainment, period. And to be able to come in there and be a change agent in the NFL is a huge deal.
Do you honestly think that of all the owners and big, powerful money in the NFL, that Jay-Z, one man, can come in as a minority owner and from an NFL platform produce systemic change within our police departments and our justice system?
If it affects the NFL's bottom line in a positive way, absolutely. And there's only one person I could have said that could have done that, and it is Jay-Z. He carries that clout. Like, can you name anyone else that could be in this position that could have this many different angles and stuff coming out from what could happen if he becomes a majority owner in the NFL? There isn't nobody.
I don't share the same optimism as you because I see Jay-Z for...
I'm not looking at Jay-Z to change police brutality. Like,
that's all I want. I don't care how much money Jay-Z
has. That's not his job.
That's going to take more than one person. That's going to take a...
Exactly.
That takes all of us, not just one man.
I get that. And my point is, from the beginning, this is what this was about. And somehow, all through the road, this narrative has went from the flag to disrespecting service members.
Now that's from other people jumping in on that platform.
Now here we are with another part of the conversation that has nothing to do with police brutality.
Right.
That's a problem for me.
That's a problem for me. That's a problem for me.
But that's not the conversation, though, Aaron.
Like, this Jay-Z joining the NFL should have nothing to do with police brutality.
But it should be.
Why? Because it's Jay-Z? Because it's black?
No. It's got nothing to do with Jay-Z.
But the story is about Jay-Z. Yeah.
The fact that the story is about Jay-Z in itself is a problem. Do you get what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying. It sounds like you're trying to bring the Colin Kaepernick argument into the discussion about Jay-Z and the NFL as if they have to be intertwined. My point is they don't have to be intertwined. Jay-Z is not Colin Kaepernick's lawyer or representative.
Jay-Z got to this point on the back of what Colin Kaepernick did. You think the NFL is reaching out to Jay-Z for a partnership that they didn't have?
They reached out to him three years ago.
But it also is what Jay-Z represents in the black community.
Yes.
And that's who they're trying to touch. Jay-Z is Jay-Z.
You're basically saying Jay-Z, a self-made billionaire, would not have been in the eyes of the NFL, who have been reaching out to him for the past 4 years to do something, anything with them. You're saying that wouldn't have happened unless Colin Kaepernick took a knee? That down the road they wouldn't have tried to do this anyway? That's my point. They've wanted Jay-Z for the past 3 to 5 years. Him becoming a billionaire just cemented the fact that now we can do something with you. And we know if we bring you in, it's going to help cover some of our warts, and then maybe together we can try to figure out each other's stances and go forward. But we can't do nothing just arguing about Colin Kaepernick taking knees when he hasn't taken a snap in 3 years, and he's probably never going to play again.
If
that's the case, then they should have just said a business relationship, entertainment relationship. They should have left the social justice part out of it.
They did. That's my point. They did.
When they first announced it, they called it a social justice and entertainment coalition.
But no one's really thinking Jay's going to be sitting in an office going, you know, what can we do to include the black people
That you thought Jay-Z could get in there from an NFL platform.
I think he can do that down the road. Systemic change. He can do that better inside than outside. Can he not?
I don't think that happens from the NFL. They're about their dollar. They're not going to do nothing to interrupt their dollar. This is a giant PR move.
I'm way past my break. So if the NFL, in the end, their bottom line is higher because they have made a point to reach out to the urban community and try to correct wrongs that they have themselves have admitted over the past 5 years by bringing in someone that the African-American community almost considers godlike at this point in Jay-Z, you're saying that won't go a long way towards making the NFL more money in the end?
Of course it will.
Then what are we talking about here? Because that's literally what's happening.
What I'm saying is, I care less about how much money the NFL is making. I care less about how much money Jay-Z is making.
But it ain't about you. It's about Jay-Z and the NFL.
That's not true about Aaron. And that's great. Kudos for them. Like, congratulations. As a businessman and as a business, the NFL finds a way to smooth over some of their rough spots. Jay-Z makes a ton more money. Congratulations. But what's getting buried is the narrative that started with Colin Kaepernick in the beginning, and that is the fact that we are 2.5 times more likely to die at the hands of police brutality, and that it is, according to the New York Times, this Los Angeles Times article, getting killed by the police is the leading cause of death for young black men in America.
Right.
So that is the primary issue.
So, Aaron, it sounds like you want the NFL to acknowledge what you just stated. I mean, would that
about
help,
police brutality?
Like, to acknowledge, are you looking for the NFL and Jay-Z to maybe start having panels, discussions with different cities and police departments?
That would be a start. If you're going to come in,
they're already doing that.
That would be a political issue. Come in and call it a social justice initiative along with entertainment. The reason why, how those two things are together, I have no idea. But if you're going to call it a social justice and an entertainment initiative, that would at least be a start from something like the NFL. It is football, for crying out loud. So I don't expect a football entity to do that much. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a political issue we're talking about right now.
Exactly.
It's a society issue.
Okay, yeah, let me, okay, the well, NFL okay, itself I got, is not
okay, let me stop it right there because we're too far. Yeah, we've gone way past my break. We're going to stay in the NFL when we come back, though. We do have, and we might continue this discussion here also, but we do have more NFL football. It's August, so it's time for our NFL predictions. Every Saturday during the preseason, we preview two divisions leading up to the start of the NFL season. Today, we go with the NFC and the AFC West, and we'll give our predictions on who's going to win and all the good stuff that we normally do in August regarding the NFL. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back next on the Rundown.
Medicaid expansion, school safety, a statewide bond package, the next state budget. North Carolina lawmakers are tackling these and other topics. You can follow all the action with Carolina Journal. How would these proposals affect you, your wallet, your family? Carolina Journal offers answers, available each month as a free newspaper. Every day online at carolinajournal.com. Carolina Journal, your best source for government news that affects you. Visit carolinajournal.com today.
If your golf game is not up to par, the North Carolina Golf Academy offers you easy-to-understand instruction from their elite professional teaching staff. They have 5 instructors with over 100 years of experience. Visit the state-of-the-art indoor facility and pro shop at Pembroke Road in Greensboro and their driving range on Highway 68 in High Point. And be sure to ask about summer golf camps for all levels of juniors. Everything you need to know is a stroke away at NorthCarolinaGolfAcademy.com.
Being a Farm Bureau insurance agent means being local. It means insuring your child's first car and standing beside you after a storm. It's more than a business to us. It's a friendship. So call an agent who calls North Carolina home. Because when you need us, we're there. In every county, every day. North Carolina Farm Bureau Insurance. Helping you is what we do best.
Are you ready for football season? The ACC Sports Journal is, with our 2019 ACC Football Preview Magazine that's on newsstands now. Get your football fix with predictions for the Tar Heels, Wolfpack, Blue Devils, Deacons, and the rest of the ACC. There's 10 whole pages dedicated to each team, and don't miss David Glenn's insider feature on the launch of the ACC Network. Want a copy shipped to you? Go to accsports.com and click on the ACC Football Preview banner.
Cigar aficionados, Havana Phil here with Havana Phil Cigars, where our humidor has a magnificent selection of the world's finest cigars and a wide variety of accessories and gift ideas. Enhance your smoking enjoyment in the complimentary Rocky Patel Lounge and patio during retail hours. Memberships are still available to our Davidoff Lounge to enjoy a beverage with cigars Tuesday through Saturday evening. So when you think cigars, come to Havana Phil's in the heart of Midtown Greensboro. Enjoy life and smoke great cigars at Havana Phil's.
The Kernersville Museum is pleased to announce our Tobacco Barn exhibit is now open. This is our first outdoor exhibit and features the history of tobacco farming in our community. We are also currently featuring our Hidden Gems series, which showcases key artifacts from Kernersville's history. We are located at 127 West Mountain Street and are open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4 and Saturdays from 10 to 2. As always, admission is free. To stay updated on the latest news and events, check out our website, kernersvillemuseum.org, and be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah!
It's going to be one big party.
Yeah, man!
Back to the Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
I like how Sawyer stays in tune with the show, coming back with Jay-Z on the on the pump there. 336-777-1600 is your number to dial. Still knee-deep in NFL football. If you want to listen to the best sports podcasts on the go, podcasts like the Franchise Players, Triad Racing Podcast with Randy Pettit, A Stone's Throw with Ryan Stone, Live with Brandon Blakeney, and much more, now available on all major podcast formats, including SoundCloud, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and much, much more. Just simply search for the title of the podcast you're looking for, download it, and enjoy exclusively from SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. It is August, so it is time for our NFL predictions. Every Saturday during the preseason, we preview two divisions leading up to the start of the NFL season, the first week of September. Today, we go with the NFC and the AFC West. And guys, let's start with the NFC West. Do the Rams have a stranglehold on this division, or do you expect them to repeat as NFC West champs, or do you think they're going to take a step back? They were 13-3 last season and lost. They were the runner-up in Super Bowl 52.
Oh, well, I definitely expect the Rams to do their thing in this particular division right here. Sean McVay, he's a young coach. He's very talented on the offensive end. They still have a great line of scrimmage. They still have a good core defensive line. They have veteran players. They just came off a Super Bowl loss. I mean, I think you have to watch out for these guys in this division. Now, the Seattle Seahawks, I think, may be around the next team to come in second. But Seattle just paid their quarterback a boatload of money, $35 million per year. A lot of times that can mess up a locker room, and guys are like, hey, I deserve that money too.
Some of those guys in the locker room didn't like Russell Wilson before that deal.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Facts.
Exactly.
He's had rumblings.
And whenever you have issues in your locker room, that usually doesn't bode well when it's time to hit the field. San Francisco 49ers. Now, their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, they said he just threw 5 interceptions in practice, which we know practice is what it is. It's practice. You know, like Allen Iverson said, we're talking about practice here. But Jimmy Garoppolo put on a face mask and robbed the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo
like
played
villain.
4 games for the New England Patriots under Bill Belichick, which by the way, he gets $27.5 million a year. Jimmy Garoppolo gets $27.5 million a year. Play 4 games under Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick should be his agent right now. He should be thanking Bill for every
Bill
piece
wanted
of
to go,
money.
Remember,
yeah,
Robert Kraft is the one who's like, man, I'm keeping Tommy Boy and I'm sending this guy out.
Exactly. So Jimmy Garoppolo robbed those guys. In my opinion, Jimmy Garoppolo stinks. He smells like 21-day-old collard greens.
Wow.
He cannot play football. He is not a football player in my mind unless he's under a system like Bill Belichick's system. And I think he's going to get really, really exposed if he comes back. And then, of course, last in the AFC, we're talking about the Arizona Cardinals. They are just
Kyler Murray.
They're worse than 20-day-old collard greens. The Arizona Cardinals hired Cliff Kingsbury.
He was
a
average.
Coach who was fired at Texas Tech, average. Who was under 500.
He was average.
He's got this like
he was
Jim,
under 500.
It's like this Jim Caldwell, Mike D'Antoni, like fell upwards type thing going on.
I think
where
you
like,
got to go for Lincoln Riley.
What,
if you're going to do anything?
What
like
NFL
like
team hires a guy from college who can't even win his own division, who's under 500 in college? What NFL team does that?
Did Cliff Kingsbury put together this offense or something? Like, was he the offensive coordinator earlier?
Yeah.
And then,
well, he's
like,
coached a lot. He coached Pat Mahomes, and he coached before that he had Baker Mayfield for a year.
Right, that's what it was. So he was on the Oklahoma staff and then got the head coaching job at Texas Tech, failed miserably, and then got promoted to a higher position in the NFL.
Well, Steve Sarkisian had the same thing happen in Atlanta. True. So I will say that.
My thing is, he was thinking it up too.
Mediocre, mediocre. My thing is about this division. I think the Rams, it depends on how Todd Gurley comes back. Does he come back healthy? Is he going to miss a number of games? Is he going to be that same Todd Gurley? They've got a good core right now, good defensively. Offense, Sean McVay, they do their thing. Jared Goff's tough. Probably the most talent coming back, but you can't count out the champion, the heart of a champion. Russell Wilson, and those guys are coming back. They've drafted some talented rookies. They're expecting guys, some young guys to contribute early. New faces, new look. They did bring back Bobby Wagner, arguably the second best linebacker in the league behind Luke Kuechly, bias. So they have Pete Carroll still, championship core. I like this team still. They can make a run. Then you look at the Arizona Cardinals. Well, we'll stop. San Francisco 49ers. Let's go to the collard greens first. So, San Francisco. I think with Jimmy G, we haven't seen enough, man. He gets hurt too much.
His career record is 8-2.
10 games. He's not bad. He just doesn't stay healthy.
He was 1-2 last year before he got hurt. What did he tear his ACL?
Tore his ACL.
Tore his ACL early into the season. Still got that fat bag.
He's throwing 65% completions for his career, but again, he's only played 10 games.
We've seen a very small sample size.
I ain't trusting San Francisco.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't know. They've got talent, though. I mean, they've brought in Richard Sherman. They've brought in some weapons on the offensive side of the ball. They spent some money in free agency, and I think they could be the dark horse in this league.
I'm gonna go out on a limb, even though I'm looking at – I never take into this whole strength of schedule nonsense because it's based off of what happened last year, like their win percentage from last year. I never understood it because they're not playing those same teams again this year, and it's not the same team from last year. So I'm looking at the Rams. They were 13-3, NFC West champs, the 2 seed in the NFC. Lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Their strength of schedule this year is supposed to be 27th based on the win percentage from last year.
Wow.
They got Saints. They've got Bears and Seahawks at home. They've got the Panthers, Seahawks, and Falcons on the road. So the NFC West is playing the NFC South. I think the NFC South is one of the best divisions in football.
Easily.
We're saving it for next week. So to me, 13-3, Los Angeles ain't going to see 13 wins this year.
I don't think so.
The hangover from the Super Bowl, unless you're the Patriots, it's going to affect you. And it's a lot of teams. The Rams, I'm low on this year. The Chiefs, I'm low on this year. We're about to do AFC West in just a second. New Orleans, I'm low on because I feel like unless you're the Patriots, you're not going to continuously win 12, 13 games a year in this league. It's not built for you to do it. The Patriots are just in a very weak division.
Exactly.
So they get six wins off top.
Boise State, how they're beating teams.
And even last year, they lost five road games.
Who do you have winning this division?
Honestly, I'm kind of looking at Seattle. I think their defense is going to be better than the Rams. I think Russell Wilson's the best quarterback in the division.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to run the ball, knowing Pete Carroll. And
yeah, they ran it well last year.
If you run the ball and can stop the run, you're going to win a lot of games. And I think the Rams are going to take a step back. They lost Ndamukong Suh.
I was going to say, yeah, they lost some guys on that defense. And I mean, how many?
LaMarcus Joyner, the safety.
Yeah, Joyner was a beast.
So I'm not very high on them. They still have Aaron Donald, yes. And he was voted number one on the NFL Top 100 by the players. So, I mean, they do have him. But I just don't see them going 13-3 again. 10-6 wild card maybe, but I'm kind of expecting 10-6 Seattle to win this
division. Because I mean that division, I think they're going to beat up on each other. Even the Cardinals, we've probably seen the most turnover with them. With Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, David Johnson still there, Larry Fitzgerald.
The Cardinals will be lucky to win 5 games this year.
I think,
they'll be very lucky.
Yeah, I could say that, but I also think they're going to compete in a lot of games.
Yeah, they'll be fun to watch.
They're not going
to
get rolled over. They'll be interesting like to be out there.
I don't think so, man.
You don't think so?
What I think is going to happen to the Cardinals is, I think Kingsbury doesn't realize, and the way he's going to use his quarterback, is everybody in the NFL is the same speed when you're talking 10 to 15 yards. So whenever Murray starts running, he's going to either have to slide or get out of bounds. And what's going to happen, there are going to be a lot of three and out plays. A lot of three and out plays. Then that defense is coming back on the field. That defense is going to get tired. The best I think the Cardinals will do is they will have a great game maybe in the first half. But when the second half comes, that defense is going to be tired of all the three and outs that the offense produces, keeps them out on the field, and then they're going to get blown out at the end of games. I see that happening to the Cardinals.
Do they still have David Johnson?
Yeah, they still have David Johnson.
He needs a running back.
I mean, let's be honest. David Johnson, Larry Fisher, and Kyler Murray, that's something to work with.
That ain't bad.
We're still talking about a Heisman.
Well, what you do is you load 8 people in the box and say, who's going to run it? Make Kyler throw it. Let's see him throw it.
He's going to have to.
That's what's going to happen. And you got to remember, he's going to be throwing against linemen who are 6'4", 6'5", 6'6". He's 5'11".
Well, he's
at
about
best.
The same size as Russell Wilson.
So I think he's a little shorter than Russell Wilson, actually.
We got to move. Yeah, he's shorter than
Russell Wilson.
He's like 5'. Well, I know they measured him at like 5'10", but if you look at him, he's like 5'8", 5'9".
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be rough on him. And he's a rookie. Definitely. And he's a rookie.
But he can
in
move
the NFL.
Around, man. He's quick. Got
he
big
reminds
hands.
Me of Johnny Manziel. Like his body dimensions, the way he runs, looks
and
like
Johnny Manziel right now.
Oh, exactly.
No off the field problems though. I think
that was a lot of it.
I think he's a little bit more polished.
And starting off in Cleveland probably had a little bit to do with that.
He didn't have Larry Fitzgerald.
Real quick, in regards to Jimmy Garoppolo, the Patriots have done this before. Anybody remember Matt Castle?
I do. Yeah. Matt Castle came and robbed somebody too.
And the Chiefs. Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL making a bad decision. He tried to take on a safety as opposed to running out of bounds and tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of Robert Griffin III there.
Jacoby Brissett too. They had the Patriots.
Yeah,
he
ended up going
to
the Colts for a little bit. AFC West starting off. Of course, the big story is the Chiefs and their breakout year last year behind now third year quarterback Pat Mahomes, the reigning MVP of the league. Can Pat Mahomes duplicate his MVP season? And do you expect the Chiefs to win double digit games this year?
I don't think he can repeat that one because of the Madden curse. Two, they done had the league always figures out a way. It doesn't matter. You give him time, the league always.
I've been on this tip. Partly just to make Aaron frustrated during the weeks, but I've been on this tip for months that now the league didn't have tape on Pat Mahomes last year, so he can go out here and throw, you know, like you said, spirals with both hands and no look passes because they didn't know he was able to do that. They know he can do it now. So there are guys in this league. Wade Phillips has not been a defensive coordinator for an eternity because he's just out there winging it. Like he can figure out how to stop a guy. You know, Bill Belichick is not Bill Belichick because he just showed up one day and stopped the Rams in the Super Bowl one year, and all of a sudden he's like a godlike coach. He knows what he's doing. They're going to stop Pat Mahomes. Like,
all this sounds like wishful thinking.
Nah, he ain't getting – what did he throw for last year? Like close
55.
To 55. He ain't getting 55 touchdowns this year. I'll tell you that right now. That is not happening.
The first thing Brandon said in regards to what's going to stop Patrick Mahomes? He brought
I'll say it
up
again.
Superstition.
I'll say it. And who's beaten that superstition? What player has beaten that superstition?
He said the Madden
Let
curse.
Me know.
That's true, though.
Let me know who's beaten the
superstition. Now, I'm not wishing injury or anything like that on Pat Mahomes.
Not even injury, because everybody hasn't gotten injured. It's just they haven't.
Had bad years.
I mean, Peyton Hillis didn't get injured.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Wow. Young.
Peyton Hillis.
I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen, but I do believe this is going to be a pretty tough division. I've been checking out the Raiders.
What are your thoughts on the Raiders?
The Raiders are looking pretty good. I think Gruden has put some pieces in place that he wants.
Right?
I thought they were like garbage. Yeah, I watched Hard Knocks last week. I was like, yo, this doesn't look good.
I ain't talking about Hard Knocks. Okay. Did y'all watch the game that they played?
No, I did not watch the game.
That's what I'm talking about, the game that they played Thursday night. Unless it was just the Cardinals stank up the joint.
That's
what I think it could be. Yeah, I think it was probably more. It's probably more the Cardinals.
The Raiders are going. I think the Raiders are going to give you a heck of a fight. fight this year. The Chargers aren't going to be bad.
I got Chargers might be a Super Bowl contender.
Are they contender? Nah, they're not going to the Super Bowl.
We're talking about Philip Rivers maybe being an MVP candidate again.
Keenan Allen, local talent from Northern Guilford.
Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon. I mean,
yeah, but Philip Rivers can't win the big games. I'm sorry. He just can't.
He needs to do that to kind of. I think he
needs to get. I'm not putting it on Derek Carr.
I think Philip Rivers needs to get to a Super Bowl to get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have the stats when he's done. Definitely. He's like the seventh leading passer of all time or something right now.
They haven't had a lot of talent around him.
Oh, they've had a lot of talent.
No, I mean, back in the day, yeah. Let's think 5 years ago, though.
He went through a little stretch after, LT retired and all those guys got shipped off.
And their running back finally signed, right?
No.
Melvin Gordon's still holding out.
He's still holding out?
Yeah.
Okay.
But any of these defense has gotten a lot better in recent years.
And then with the Broncos, I think the Broncos may come in last in this division because I don't have a lot of faith in Joe Flacco.
I was going to say, no faith in Joey Flacco?
I think that could be an X factor looking
in. They got the defense, though.
That's what I'm saying. They still have a very, very stout defense.
Who's the guy on the other side they just drafted opposite Von Miller from NC State? Bradley Chubb.
Yeah.
Bradley Chubb on the other side.
Yeah.
He's huge, and he runs like a 4.6.
I mean, what? I mean, I know you're a Chiefs fan, Aaron. I understand
Chiefs
that.
Chiefs fandom aside, y'all are tripping.
What are you talking about?
First of all, Derwin James broke a bone in his foot yesterday.
I was going to get to that,
He's out for an extended period of time.
That hurts the
Melvin
Chargers.
Melvin Gordon has requested a trade. He might even play for the Chargers this year.
That's true.
Keenan Allen is hurt again, and you know he's injury prone. Yeah. The Chargers ain't going to do squat. The Raiders are trash because Derek Carr's garbage. Antonio Brown's feet are jacked. And what else is going on?
We didn't touch on his feet this week because we actually saw it on Hard Knocks.
He's out there running around, though.
And somehow. And the Broncos got Joe Flacco a quarterback. Okay?
A Super Bowl champion, Joe Flacco.
And I mean, the thing
that Mahomes don't have.
Something Mahomes has done.
Something Mahomes does
got a ring.
Not
5 years ago.
This is the thing. That,
check the resume.
With Ray Lewis.
This check is his resume.
This is the thing I like about the Chiefs. They still have Andy Reid. Andy Reid is one of the most consistent coaches in the NFL.
Yeah.
He just had that time where his son was in that trouble when he was with the Eagles.
Right.
And that was the only time he had that downslide. But after that, Andy Reid was winning with Alex Smith.
It feels like it's but next man up, too. With
but he doesn't win the big games. Though. He's never won the big game.
He has not.
Not even with
but he has gone to the big dance.
He's gone once.
And he's danced
but
the tango.
He's never won the big game. And like, as long as Bill Belichick is running around the NFC, I mean the AFC, I don't expect Andy Reid to take the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. I just don't.
Like, yeah, and then
they're not going to get the mental block of the Patriots. They're not going to get.
But
past
Mahomes
next year.
Is too good not to be in a Super Bowl in the next 3
years. I want to see if he can do it again.
He's too good.
Like, I'm tired of people crowning Pat Mahomes off of 16 games. I mean, like, he's played 1 year. Like, I want to see if he can continue to do this because we've done this with Aaron Rodgers, and I'm starting to jump off the Aaron Rodgers boat. Even though I read a stat last week,
kind of disrespected
and it sounded
last
crazy.
Week. Yeah, we can't do that 2 weeks in a row.
I mean, it's fun, but it's like everyone's anointing Aaron Rodgers as like the best quarterback of all time, and I'm like.
He's
won a Super Bowl 9 years ago. Like,
I think that's arguable.
I mean, it just things ebb and flow. I want to see if Pat Mahomes can do this over again. I have no idea who's going to win this division.
Longevity's tough in the league, though.
I'm kind of leaning. I'm leaning towards the Chargers, to be honest.
And yeah, I mean, Derwin James will be out a month. Maybe.
The Chiefs' defense is suspect, and you know it.
Very suspect. They got old.
Retooled.
Yeah, they got old.
Yeah, they got a new coordinator.
Now they got a bunch of no names.
That defense that was there last year is gone. And what you don't realize is
good.
They were
gone. Good.
They couldn't keep them.
They look like a Pac-12. Defense playing in the NFL. Like, what
you don't realize is that defense does not have to be good. They just have to be average.
No.
Well, they weren't that.
They want to win a Super Bowl.
Defense was last year.
No, they want to win a Super Bowl.
They
want
to win a Super Bowl.
Average.
You got to have a good defense.
Because you've got to get past the Patriots. That's what I'm saying.
They were an offsides call away from going to the Super Bowl last year. And that's
something
facts.
Something else would have happened.
Tom Brady threw that interception. That game was over.
Something else would have happened.
Tom Brady threw that interception. The game was over.
Tom Brady's career is littered with people that can say that same story over the past 20 years. If we had just done this, then we wouldn't have lost Tom Brady.
But I'm just, they were that close. That defense doesn't have to be that much better than that defense they had last year.
I think it does.
Which
y'all can't give up 40. You can't give up 35 points a game.
And then 45 in Mexico.
All they have to do is trim that down to like 20.
This is not West
Coast. That's hard.
That's 50. That's two touchdowns difference.
Hey, guys.
It happened. I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell y'all something.
It's not happening.
We're going to see.
I'm going to tell y'all something. I think the Chiefs are going to compete, but I think the Raiders are going to do much better than y'all think.
Oh, trip.
Their offense. Hey, dude. Their offense is not bad.
Who's
They've
the
got
back?
Jacobs out of Alabama.
Oh, that's right.
Who was not used very much, and he played great
but
on Thursday.
Really good. He's a feature
And
back.
Then they
he's
improved
really
that offensive line.
They spent a lot of money.
They spent some heck of some money. Some yes, sir.
We'll see. Well, I mean, it's all up to Derek Carr.
They're still on the 10-year plan. Let's not forget that.
Let me take another quick break.
And I think Gruden is going to take time to work with Carr.
He's got a 10-year contract.
He can
might as well.
He can work with quarterbacks.
If it don't work, Tua's going to be sitting there in the draft next year. So, I mean, Tua and Jacobs in the backfield together again, Antonio Brown?
Yep. And then,
that
and
sounds
then,
like something you can take to Vegas.
And then I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
The Raiders have a little bit of a pass rush. They picked up this kid from the Clemson who's done great.
Farrell.
Yes, sir. They picked up Farrell. He's been doing great playing ball. The Raiders are going to be better than you guys are talking about.
I think they're going to be better than they are, too.
I don't think they win more than 8 games.
Yeah, somewhere like 6, maybe 7 games. They'll be competitive.
Yeah.
And that's all you're going to have.
The Chargers are going to win 10. The Chiefs might win 11, maybe.
I'm picking the Chargers. I'm not on this Chief bandwagon right now. I'm sorry. I just can't do it.
We got longevity's tough in the league, my man. It's tough.
On Thursday, new Lakers forward DeMarcus Boogie Cousins suffered yet another setback, this time a torn left ACL while playing pickup ball in L.A. What does this mean for Cousins' future and the Lakers? Next on The Rundown.
Okay, let's go.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Welcome to The Nest, a new season-long podcast centered around head coach Todd Willard and the defending 4A champion East Forsyth Eagles. Season premiere is next week, the week of August 23rd. We got high school football starting next week, too, here at Sports Hub. Search and download from Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple, Anchor, and more. And, of course, at SportsConMonthly.com, and it will be available for weekly download here on SportsHubTriad.com as well. And we just had our huge high school football talent meeting yesterday, and I'm super excited about what we're going to be doing for high school football this year at the Sports Hub. First week, we've got a huge matchup. Dudley traveling to Clemens to take on West Forsyth. That is next Friday at 7 p.m. Dave Pulaski and Drew Brackett on the call. Sawyer Dillon will be in studio. The following week and then going forward, we're going back to 2 games a week, y'all. So East Forsyth is going to be prominently featured on the WSJS side. The best game in the Triad is going to be on the other side. Two different teams. Me and Rod are actually going to be doing the play-by-play and color commentary for the East Forsyth contest. So we're definitely looking forward to all of that. And we'll get you some more info on that over the course of this week as we get set up for another great high school football season. Boogie Cousins tore his left ACL Thursday, y'all. He's going to be likely out for the 2019-20 NBA season. Is this the end of Boogie Cousins' career?
You know, that's a good question, Des. I don't want it to be... the end of Boogie Cousins' career. And don't get me wrong, Boogie Cousins can be a jerk. I'll just be honest with you. I mean, he really.
Can he?
Yeah, I mean, he can be a pure jerk. But I don't want to see him lose his career. You know what I mean? It's kind of sad. It's terrible because first he tore his Achilles, right?
Right.
And then he's out. He comes back, gets with Golden State, wins a ring. You know, he's on the team. And then he comes back, tears his quad. Then he gets healthy, loses in the finals. Then he comes to the Lakers.
Well, that Achilles injury was actually with the Pelicans the first time he got hurt.
Because he was on the verge of a $200 million contract.
Yeah,
he was going to get a max.
Right, he was going to get a max deal. He tore his Achilles. Then that's what he signed with Golden State.
Nobody wanted to sign him, and then Golden State got him for dirt cheap.
So he was on their squad. And then the following year, he tore that quad.
Mm-hmm.
And then now he signs with the Lakers, and he tears his ACL.
Terrible.
Man, I don't know what to say. I hope his career is not over, but I don't think he'll ever have an opportunity for a max deal. I think that's out the door.
Oh, that's gone. Yeah.
So I think he'll still continue to play basketball. I'm hoping he can improve. I'm hoping he can get some good therapy. And hopefully he can find out exactly what's going on with him, if he's injury prone or what the issue is. But I'm just going to step on the limb and say, although he's a jerk, he's not going to be ending his career.
You know, like, we got to correct one thing. Cousins does not have a ring with the Warriors.
Yeah, I think he did.
I thought he got a ring with the Warriors.
No, he joined them last year. So, because the thing happened with the Pelicans in the 2000
17-18 season, mm-hmm. he went through the whole offseason. Nobody would sign him. Golden State signed him last
year. That's
the beginning.
Year he didn't sign. He
and
sat
he,
out.
Yeah, okay. He was basically rehabbing the Achilles injury for most of this past season, and then he played 30 regular season games. Then he suffered the quad injury in game two of the first round playoff series they had against the Clippers.
On a steal.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah trying to run for the running after the ball midcourt. And he returned game one of the NBA Finals against Toronto and played. But he, I mean, you could tell he was limping around. He couldn't jump at all.
And I hate that he's not. I don't know if he will ever get a chance to be a champion. We know he won't get a chance to get that max deal. And the year he did go down with the Pelicans initially, I mean, we're talking about a guy that's 3-4 years removed from being the best five in the game.
Right.
I mean, Boogie does a lot of things. He can shoot it, open the floor, can handle the ball a little bit. Big, strong, powerful finisher, elite rebounder.
He's 29.
He's still on the right side of 30, but I don't know. I've heard, you know, there people have been rubbed by Boogie the wrong way, but people close to him and the people that have been teammates with him, everybody speaks high of Boogie. His character.
Yeah, Kentucky guys, the Golden State guys have all been
everybody speaks high about Boogie.
What was the problem with him and AD in New Orleans?
I don't know if there was a problem.
It wasn't a problem with them at all because they reunited with the Lakers.
Right.
My thing was that he thought he could get more money than what the Pelicans were offering.
I don't think he thought he could get a max deal from the Pelicans when they were going to have to re-sign Anthony Davis.
Exactly.
And I don't think there was an issue between the two of them because Anthony Davis would have had to sign off on them bringing him to
them
L.A.
Boys, those guys are boys. Yeah. Kentucky.
They're both Kentucky
like,
dudes. Yeah, they're both Kentucky guys. So I don't think there was ever a problem with them.
And they didn't hesitate to reunite in L.A. either. Yeah. So, I mean, they were going to form a good front court. He was a double-double machine.
I was going to say, he averaged 21.2 points per game and 10.9 rebounds a game for his 9 NBA seasons.
Yeah,
that's his regular average.
He was the best five in the league. Definitely worthy of a max contract at that point. But big guys and knee injuries, leg injuries, lower body injuries in general aren't good, especially, you know.
I didn't think he was going to be the same after the Achilles. Because, usually an Achilles injury in basketball is the end for you. You're never going to be the same. That's why I've been very cautious when people are saying, oh, Kevin Durant will come back, be better than ever. No, he ain't. He's not going to come back the same way he was. It's just the way it is.
Like, we saw it in Kobe. We did.
But Kobe was at the end of his career when it happened.
He
was
old. It did, but he still had 3 good years.
Kobe was averaging
about 25, 26 points
per game.
He was
taking 25 shots to get there, too.
Before that Achilles, though, that year that he got hurt, that was before we saw the Mamba go downhill.
Right.
Kobe was still Kobe before that Achilles.
That's true. But that Achilles definitely took away from what he could do.
It took 2-3 years away from Kobe.
I think people always say Dominique Wilkins is the only one they can think of that came back.
And he advised Boogie, and we've seen, you know, that's the case. But lower profile players have come back from it. It's just
Rudy Gay last year, but he wasn't the same. Yeah,
man. Well, he's just older. He hasn't been really his.
I mean,
in a while,
Durant's going to be 30, right? Isn't he 30 right now?
I think Durant comes back and he's still a hooper. I think he's still going to be one of the best scorers in the league.
I got him at like he'll be like kind of like when Grant Hill got hurt and then came back and he's a shell of what he was.
He can still
drop 25 on you here and there, but he ain't going to drop 25 on you every single night. Not anymore. Like,
but those knees, man, Grant Hill was really never the same. I don't know if
he had a lot of injuries,
and
a bunch of other stuff.
But his body was just
Durant's like body dimension, the way it's like, he's not muscular. He's wiry.
Right.
And a lot of people think, oh, well, he'll just be a pop and, you know, a stop and pop type shooter like Klay Thompson. That's not Kevin Durant. That's not
his
game.
His handles aren't going to just disappear. He's still
But his lateral movement will a little bit. Like, he's not going to be able to just get by guys like he could before. He'll be able to raise up over top of him.
Yeah.
His shot probably won't be affected, but he's not going to be able to take people to the rim the same way he was doing before he blew out his Achilles.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to sign off on that necessarily because, I mean, it's early to tell. He's still a year away from playing.
I'm signing off.
But my thing is, he's still got can still play in the post. He's got the back to the basket game. He's still gonna be able to hit the turnarounds, mid range. He's still gonna have a handle. And I mean, he's got a long stride. It's not just about speed.
Yeah.
And if you're beating your man, you're not really moving laterally much, anyways. As far as KD, his stride can get him in the lane.
I don't expect Brooklyn to work out anyway. Like, I don't know.
I love Kyrie
in a weird way. I
kind of
feel like Kevin Durant's gonna be in Houston with Westbrook and Harden, like, in the next 2 years. Like, they're just going to reignite them all over there. Go grab Serge Ibaka, too.
Kevin McHale can pull that one off, man.
336-777-1600 is the number to call if you want to chime in on our topics today. I do have 4 passes to the VIR Well, the Virginia International Raceway for August 23rd through the 25th. All you have to do, fill up the phone lines now, 336-777-1600. We are going to do some trivia, get this four-pack of tickets for next weekend to go see the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, MSA Race in Action. Call in now, talk to Sawyer, get on the line so you can try to win these tickets. Meanwhile, when we come back, Bowman Gray news. It's the last Saturday of the season at Bowman Gray. We'll take a quick look at the leaderboard heading into the races tonight. Plus, the voice of Bowman Gray, Randy Pettit, checks in from the Madhouse. Last Saturday of the season, he'll get us set up for tonight. Plus, rundown hot takes. Each of us will give a hot take on the world of sports next in the rundown.
What's up, dog?
Think about it.
A party?
Are we having a party?
Yeah!
Back to the rundown with Desmond Johnson.
Check out the Triad Racing Podcast with Randy Pettit each week on the SCM Podcast Network. Exclusive interviews with top racers from the past, present, and future. Current episodes now available via Spotify, Google, Apple, Anchor, and much more. Triad Racing Podcast with Randy Pettit, now available for streaming or download for listening on the go. The newest episode to drop this week has Sportsman Division leader Justin Taylor in the session. So definitely go and check out all your major podcast outlets to check that out. I do have this four-pack of tickets to the Virginia International Raceway for next weekend, August 23rd through the 25th. And we got John on the line from High Point. He wants to give a crack at trivia to win this four-pack of tickets. John, are you ready?
I hope so.
So real easy. Rod is going to read a simple trivia question to you. We tried to take it easy on you this morning. It is football-related. Get the question right, you win the four-pack of tickets. Okay.
Hey, John, right. And we're going to give you about 30 seconds here, buddy. Are you ready?
That's right.
All right. John, who is the last non-quarterback to win the NFL MVP? Who is the last non-quarterback to win the NFL MVP?
All right. I'm driving, so I'm not looking this up, but I think Todd Gurley won it.
I'm sorry, it was not Todd Gurley.
Yes, your response.
No, that's incorrect, John.
Sorry about that, thanks, John, man. But thank you for your call.
So keep calling in during this segment. And like I said, this four-pack of tickets is burning my pocket. It's sitting here on the right here. So if anybody wants these, this Virginia International Raceway event for next weekend, August 23rd through the 25th, call in. You got an answer to the trivia question and win those tickets. Meanwhile, we do have the last week of Bowman Gray today, tonight, weather permitting, and just as we do every Saturday during the race season, we give you the results from last week and the points leaders. Last week, August the 10th, in the modified, there were two races. Brandon Ward won one. Jonathan Brown won the second. That Triad Racing Podcast must be good luck, because I'm seeing a lot of names on here of people that have appeared on it over the past 3 weeks, and then they go on and win the next week at Bowman Gray. John Brown was just on the podcast 2 weeks ago. Tommy Neal won Sportsman. Amber Lynn, who was on the Triad Racing Podcast a couple weeks ago, she won her second Sportsman race in a row. Street Stock, Billy Gregg, the Gregg family, was on that podcast a couple weeks ago, and he's in the winner's circle from last week. Stadium Stock, Chuck Wall, and it was actually two Stadium Stock races. Daryl Bryant won the second one last Saturday. Going into the point standings, your leaders going into the final Saturday of the season in the modified series, Burt Myers has a 7-point lead over Tim Brown in that division. In the a lot of people in that division. In the Sportsman division, Justin Taylor, who I mentioned earlier, is on this week's Triad Racing Podcast. He has a pretty comfortable lead over Tommy Neal, 620 to 576. Dylan Ward is in third place. In Street Stock, Jacob Creed only has a 4-point lead over Jeremy Warren. In that division, Billy Gregg is right behind them at 602. So we got some interesting stuff going on in Sportsman. In Stadium Stock, Chuck Wall has an 8-point lead over AJ Sanders. Those two will be battling it out tonight to win that division also. Real quick, I have on the line the voice of Bowman Gray Racing from the Madhouse, Randy Pettit, to give us an update on what we can expect tonight out at Bowman Gray. Randy, what's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, Triad. Thank you, Desmond. You know, three big takeaways tonight at the season finale of Bowman Gray Stadium. Number one, you know the little guy on the Monopoly board, I think his name's Mr. Moneybags, that gives away all the money?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be me tonight. There's over $15,000 in special awards that are going to be handed out tonight. Everything from the Top Gun Award for the driver that wins the most races in your division. Every division has a lap leader award. Some of them have other awards like hard charger for passing the most cars. $15,000 we're going to be giving away tonight in special awards, and that's always pretty cool to hand out all that money. Desmond, the other key thing, as you mentioned, the championships. Really only one driver, and that's the fellow that we had on our podcast, Triad Racing Podcast, earlier this week. Justin Taylor can breathe any at all, and really even he can't. The reason why, double points. At Bowman Gray on a typical night, Desmond, they give away 50 points to the winner. Well, they're going to double that tonight. So the difference between 1st and 10th, instead of being about 18 points, would be 36. So, as you can imagine, if one of those point leaders draws for their starting spot and it's way in the back and they have a bad night, they could lose the championship tonight. And that's what makes the double point night so interesting.
What's
last
the
thing?
Oh, go ahead.
Can you guess what it is, Desmond?
No.
Retribution.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Tonight is the last night where these drivers can have retribution toward one another. If somebody's mad at somebody about something that happened a month ago, and believe me, there's always somebody mad at Bowman Gray Stadium about something. Tonight is the last night for them to get back at their fellow driver. And that's a reason that the Carolina Farm Credit 150, the stands will be packed tonight with people wondering who's going to win the championships, who's going to win the money, and who's going to get who. The drama unfolds tonight at 8 o'clock at the Madhouse.
On the line with Randy Pettit over at Bowman Gray Stadium as they get ready for their last Saturday of the season tonight. What's the tightest division race going in tonight, and what can you tell the fans to expect regarding that? I know you kind of touched on Burt Myers and Tim Brown are kind of deadlocked at the top of the modified series. Which race are you looking forward to the most in terms of the top of those standings being so tight?
Well, there's really three. You would hate to shortchange any. In stadium stock, the same thing going on at Ace Speedway, by the way, in Burlington. Chuck Wall and A.J. Sanders knotted in a championship battle there. And over at Bowman Gray, Chuck Wall has the big advantage because he's got four wins. So if he and A.J. Sanders were to tie, he would win the championship by the tiebreaker. He's only got an 8-point lead. And as we said with double points, that's just a couple of spots on the racetrack, Desmond. Mm. It's really going to be tight. Modified, Burt Myers, Tim Brown. Burt Myers has been on a roll. He's looking for his 10th championship of his career at the Madhouse. That would tie him with Tim Brown. And he desperately wants to tie Tim Brown to get that 10th title. It would also make him only one of two men that have won four or more straight championships. The record is five straight, held by Pee Wee Jones. Street stock, that's the one that intrigues me the most. There's three guys right there within 14 points. Jacob Creed, Jeremy Warren, Billy Gregg. They draw for their starting positions, and all three of those guys are really good. To me, that division is probably the biggest wild card. Anything can happen. It was really crazy in that division last year, and I expect more of the same tonight.
So if you got nothing to do tonight and you want to go out and get some hot racing action, this is probably the Saturday to go do it. It's the last Saturday of racing at Bowman Gray for the 2019 season. Randy, I will be talking to you later this week as we do another episode of the Triad Racing Podcast. And good luck tonight. Hope you guys stay cool and hydrated. And we'll have the final point standings and a recap of everything in SportsCarolinaMonthly.com probably around Monday. So
looking forward to it, Desmond, and look forward to seeing all the fans out at Bowman Gray tonight. If you haven't been all year, come on out tonight. It's your last chance. We'll see you there.
All right, Randy, appreciate you, man. That's Randy Pettit from the Triad Podcast, the Triad Racing Podcast, and the voice of Ace Speedway and Bowman Gray Stadium, the Madhouse. So we didn't get a chance to get out there this season. It's the last Saturday. I know we've been talking about it all year to get out there. Maybe next year. I don't know. We'll figure something out. But definitely get out to Bowman Gray today. It should be a great Saturday evening for racing.
It's a good time out there, man. Honestly, yeah. I've been out a couple races.
Yeah, it's loud, man. It's I've been on the loud. Outside of it before doing something, and you it's can loud. Just hear how loud it is
you
in
can
there.
You feel the engine like in your chest.
Yeah.
Like, when they walk it's crazy.
So we'll, and they have we'll a good time there. In there, too.
Oh, I've heard. Yeah. I've heard PBRs how much of a good flowing. Time they have in there. let's get a Twitter poll update from Aaron from earlier this morning. Give us the Twitter poll question and an update on where we are with that currently right now.
Poll question from this morning was or is, who do you think will be the Panthers' most important player this season, not named Cam Newton? According to the listening triad or listening public, is a 50-50 split between one Christian McCaffrey and Greg Olsen, surprisingly.
Really?
Whoa.
Yeah, that is a surprise. I wasn't expecting that at all. No love for Luke Kuechly, huh?
Zero love for Luke Kuechly.
Wow. All right.
I guess they figured he's missed some time anyway, so, you know.
These Panther fans, wow, yeah, be the death of me, I swear.
Well, what about the running back? Was there any love for...
you said it was top 20, yeah. McCaffrey and...
Christian McCaffrey and Greg Olsen.
And Greg Olsen.
They left out of Luke Kuechly.
No one's voted for Luke so far.
I mean, he's the quarterback of the defense. I'm surprised.
I'm a little shocked myself. Let's do hot takes real quick. Each week we do a hot take from everybody here on the rundown. Each person is going to give one hot take on something they saw this week or a prediction on what will happen going forward in sports. Let's go ahead and get that popping.
You're listening to The Rundown.
Hot. Take.
Hot.
Take.
Hot.
Take.
Hot. Hot. Hot.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. When the pigs try to get at you, park it like it's hot.
With Desmond Johnson.
All right. Who wants to kick this off? Usually I look over at the new guy.
Yeah, and I'm Brandon's ready. Like, okay. I'm ready. Oh, you're ready. Week, okay. Man. Y'all right. Caught me slipping last right. Week. I'm not this. Going out like that again. So I'm going to set the record straight. My hot take, I'm going to the soccer pitch. I'm going... Christian Pulisic, the newest signing of Chelsea, my squad, the Blues, will indeed fill the shoes.
Wait a minute, hold on. Are you doing a soccer take? Is that what's happening? Okay, oh, yeah. All right. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, English Premier League, EPL. We're doing a little English Premier League. Okay. All the right. Game, all right. The game's
soccer, know, man.
Expanding the culture.
Hey, I got to expand the culture, man. I love action on the pitch. I'm going with Chelsea Blue in the Premier League. Took a recent L, unfortunately, in the UEFA Super Cup. Liverpool and got beat pretty bad by Man United, one of their rivals, last weekend 4-0. It hasn't been a good start, but I'm thinking that Christian Pulisic from America just got signed to the Premier League. That's huge. That's big stuff.
Oh, we don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so he's like he's
we don't have a clue what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, he's gonna be pretty much the savior of American soccer. America's been investing a lot of money lately into the development academies. Y'all see the MLS is one of the fastest professional growing leagues out right now. It's a major deal worldwide. But he just got signed for $73 million, 65 million euros, which is one of the biggest contracts for an American in history to go play over there. It's like an international signing from, like, if you were like a Venezuelan guy coming to play in the MLB, something like that. He's a foreign expansion over there in Chelsea. But I think he's going to take...
I don't know what any of this means, but...
He's going to take his spot.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
He's sounds great.
The savior of American soccer. That's all you need to know. Going to lead us back to the World Cup.
All right.
Let's know what happened.
That's how I feel about it.
Rod. All right. Now, you guys know how the New England Patriots have lost Gronk, right?
Yeah.
So, that, in my opinion, my hot take is the New England Patriots will have a new savior coming to replace Gronk, and his name will be Josh Gordon, who will be reinstated
this year. He
already was.
Yeah, he was.
He got reinstated. He reinstated yesterday.
Well, Lord have mercy. And I was just doing my hot take. And he got reinstated yesterday.
He did. Yes, matter of, I'm
so there
right
you
now.
Go. I was right on my hot take.
Yeah, he.
Wait. I'm not sure it works that way. But, really not sure if it works like that. But, all right. Here's my other hot take. Oh, okay. You came with a backup. That's good.
Yeah, I got a backup hot take. Dak Prescott will get $35 million per from the Cowboys.
Sounds about right.
I mean, he turned down 30.
I think that's kind of yeah. I mean, people are like, "Oh God, he turned down $40 million." He didn't turn down $40 million. That was just thrown out there. But I always figured he's going to end up around 32, 34.
Yeah, he turned down thirty million.
Yeah.
He turned down 30, but I think it was the guaranteed money part is what he turned down,
or the years or something. Probably knowing Jerry Jones, he probably was like, "I'll give you $30 million a year, but it's going to be spread out over 8 years, and you got to." Carry bags for the first season, and you gotta do that's my Jerry Jones impression.
Yeah, you gotta have these many stats.
Kind of mixed with Colonel Sanders and like a $35 million a year. That's done. That's fine. We can do that. I gotta work on it. That's not very good. my take. Actually, let me go to the control room. Y'all got hot takes?
Yeah. So, Conor McGregor was caught on camera apparently. Or a video was released this past week or weekend of him punching an elderly man in the face at a bar.
Yeah,
apparently because he refused a whiskey shot.
Not a good look.
Yeah. Conor McGregor offers you some whiskey. You better drink it. You damn well better drink it. It's Conor
no
McGregor.
Wasted whiskey.
will blast you in the face.
Take the shot.
Yeah. So
he wouldn't do it.
He beat the man up for not drinking.
He didn't really beat him up. He gave him a quick left hook. But the telling part about it was the old man took it and just kind of sat there like, that's the part that's probably a problem. Either way, Conor McGregor will wind up in the WWE, probably at WrestleMania, making his debut as a professional wrestler.
They tried that with Floyd Mayweather. Remember, he fought Big Show at WrestleMania.
Yeah, but Floyd was still actually an incredible fighter at that point. Yeah.
That match was horrible. It was Floyd out there like throwing like little.
He broke Big Show's nose, though, for real.
He did break Big Show's nose. I do remember that.
Really?
Big Show was not pleased about
that. He really broke his nose. Yeah.
People are saying, how is Conor ever going to fight again when the comeback could be an old man can take any of your punches? Like, you can't ever trash talk ever again. It's over. It's over.
And the old man was just like, well, that was rude.
Why is Conor even out here? Didn't he make like $100 million off of that fight with Floyd? Just like go somewhere in the countryside and just live your life, man. Like, why are you out here trying to smack old men in bars?
The old man had the chin of a 40-year-old, though, so he ate that up.
Sorry, do you have a hot take?
So I'm just thinking NBA basketball. I don't know. We've had a lot of talk about the Rockets, you know, James Harden, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
I actually think the Rockets this year will either be the first or second best team in the West. Definitely, I think the only team that might compete with them will be the Clippers. I don't think the Lakers got it this year. Maybe next year once they figure some stuff out.
Damn,
but
he's a Laker. Oh, you're a Warriors fan. Yeah. I was about to say.
I don't know. For some reason, I think the Rockets actually might cook up something with Harden and Westbrook.
Yeah, go ahead and hit yourself with the damn, because that's that's pretty. I'm not sold on Houston yet either. I just can't figure out how this is going to work out. But seen stranger things.
They will have the best intro. As far as the dancing with those two guys.
Yeah, they'll be fire. Yeah, that'd be great.
I can't wait for that.
Jadeveon Clowney is being rumored to be on the trade block now because he's been holding out for a new contract. My hot take is that he will be traded not just to anywhere, but to a Super Bowl contender before the end of the preseason, which will be, 2 weeks? So in the next 2 weeks, he's going to get traded.
Pick a team.
The Bears.
Wow.
Khalil and Jadeveon.
I think the Bears will go get him.
That's a scary sight.
Because the Bears, I mean, you can win the NFC North with just a stout defense and a run game, really. Because, I mean, most of those plays you can't throw in anyway. So, yeah, I'm going to go. The Bears is the first place I thought of. If they want to stay on top of that division, go get you another pass rusher to put with Khalil, sign him to his contract, and that's your cornerstones for your defense for the next 5 years or whatever. So, that's my hot take. We'll see what happens. None of this is going to probably happen, so we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks. But coming up next, I heard this on Fox Sports last weekend, and it gave me this idea to do this here with the rundown and get everybody's opinion. What is the best theme music in sports ever? And we'll give you our take and a couple of examples next on the rundown.
Shut up.
Sit down.
Are you ready?
Stand by.
You're listening to The Rundown with Desmond Johnson.
That's right. Who are the franchise players? Des, Rod, and Johnny O bring you fresh takes on the sports topics you sit around and discuss with your friends. This week, new episode, why isn't Magic Johnson considered the second best basketball player of all time? Download or stream Franchise Players Sports Podcast from all major podcast outlets, including Spotify, Google, Apple, Stitcher, and more, as well as SportsCarolinaMonthly.com. I still got this four-pack of tickets to the Virginia International Raceway, August 23rd through the 25th. If you want to take a crack at the trivia question, give us a call, 336-777-1600. I want to know, what is the best sports theme of all time? So I went and compiled a couple of different sports themes from different random live things that we all know, that we all grew up with. And what we're going to do is basically Sawyer's going to play each one, give us about 2 minutes to discuss each one as it's playing, and we'll decide whether or not it advances on, because I believe we got eight of them now at this point. So we need to pick probably two, narrow it down to two or four, and then get it down to a winner. So let's go ahead and get that cracking and go ahead and play the first one, Sawyer. Oh, you started off with this one. This is the NBA on NBC. Man, this takes me back. Like, this takes me back to, like, Michael Jordan just dunking on everybody. This is like I can see the intro in my head where it's like Larry Johnson's in the Hornets uniform.
and he does the like it's like a 360 dunk in the dunk contest, but it's in the opening to NBA on NBC. This was my childhood. If, like I might just advance this off top. Like
as soon as it hit, it reminded me of pre-HD TV. I just saw it. Larry Johnson flying through the air.
Bulls. Michael Seattle, Jordan fist pumps Johnson, and stuff. Yeah,
the
Sean
glove
Kemp.
Out
oh,
there.
Man. Yeah, see, I'm going to nominate this one to go forward. I haven't even heard the rest of them. But, like, this is just.
I see Reggie Miller in the Knicks, Patrick Ewing going at it right now.
NBA inside stuff. Yeah. Like, all that stuff. It reminds me of this. And I can see John Tesh just, like, rocking out on a keyboard or something right now, which adds to it. I'm putting this on. I'm writing it down. I'm putting this on my list. This is. All right, NBA on NBC. That's a. It's going to be tough to beat that.
Survive in advance.
It's going to be tough to beat that. All right, hit me the next one. First of all, it's like, can you identify what it is? All heard it.
This is NBA as well.
Uh huh.
ABC.
TNT.
TNT.
That's right.
TNT.
Yeah,
Which
with
Barney, Shaq, and the
crew.
Shaq yeah. Ernie, Kenny
Shaq
Smith.
And the crew, Barker.
This one,
it's comedic. It's just, I laugh thinking about it.
This
one
makes me think
more
of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, I don't really watch a lot of NBA during the regular season because I'm a cord cutter, so I don't have TNT. Well, kind of doing a roundabout way. We won't get into that, but, yeah.
Hey, man.
This reminds me of the panel more than it does the game.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
It reminds me of Shaq and
all
Charles
the fun
Barkley.
They have.
Yeah.
And they're drawing plays out.
At this
and they're talking
point.
About
it's...
Kenny's knees.
Oh, yeah. No, Kenny's the one that does the racing. Shaq
no,
beat
Shaq
Kenny
tried
in the
to
race.
Beat him.
Yeah.
In, yeah. He tried to race him to the board or whatever and he fell down.
Yeah.
Or when Shaq fell into the Christmas tree. Yeah, I don't want to advance it because, it reminds me of the panel post-game, pre-game, halftime show more than it does the actual basketball.
Yeah.
Whereas the NBA on NBC reminds me of actual, you know, Jordan dropping 60 on somebody and talking junk to them while they're doing it. Like, so I'm kind of still leaning towards the NBA on NBC. Give me the next
one. I'm with you.
I don't even know what's going to get played. Oh. This is
a March.
Yeah, this is NCAA college basketball on CBS.
Yeah, on CBS. Yeah.
Now this one, man.
This usually
hits
the prime time
me.
Game, right?
I mean, this kind of reminds me of like March Madness.
Yeah,
like they only
March
play this during March
yeah,
Madness,
this
right?
NCAA tournament, CBS. Man, this is one of my favorite times of the year. I love this music. It's just happy. It's upbeat. It feels like springtime.
Yeah,
spring hoops. Young faces, young talent on display.
You're going to see some upsets.
Yeah,
you're going to see some
done.
Wild
March
game wins. Like, yeah, I want to advance that one, too. March Madness on CBS. And I'll give a special honorary consideration to One Shining Moment, who some people hate. I just saw Aaron in the control room. You got a problem with One Shining Moment? Really?
One Shining Moment is trash
you
juice.
You hate Santa Claus, too, don't you?
Yep.
That's the only way.
One Shining Moment don't slap.
Yeah.
No, bro. It's one of the worst songs I've ever heard in my life.
What?
If I won something and somebody played One Shining Moment for me afterwards, I would give it back. Like,
but it's Luther. It's not even like Little Luther.
But they don't
it's
even
Big
play
Luther.
Do they even play Luther's version?
Yeah, no. There was a couple years ago they went away from it, and Jennifer Hudson was singing it, and there was so much backlash that they took the Luther version off that they brought the Luther version back.
I'll
so
even say this.
Luther's
I might even
back.
Be a Luther fan.
Wow.
I said it. I don't care.
Cut him off.
I don't care.
We're cool.
Cut him off.
Yeah, just play the next song. Sorry. Just play the next one. Ah, there it is.
Oh.
Waiting on some football to hit up. That's the original Monday Night Football theme, right? So, that's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, I love that.
And you can vote on this, too. Call in 336-777-1600 or hit us at Sports Hub Triad to give your opinion for which one you think is the best sports theme.
Yeah, this is the older one, right? See, this one reminds me of the days when you had LT and you just had football practice all day.
and then you come home and you're tired and you land on the floor, and then all of a sudden you hear the music and you pop up.
Yeah, like, you're like,
oh, it's football time.
Even if it's like Dolphins versus the Texans or something. It's like, I mean, now they still use this, like in the pregame, you know, like this will be playing when they're like showing, like, you know, like Cam Newton warming up or something, like Cam Newton loosening his arm up or whatever.
Play
so, like, they still play it. Now they had Hank Williams Jr. doing this for a little bit for Monday Night Football. Go ahead and hit the next one, Sawyer.
Yeah, the Hank Williams one is good.
See, now you know he got in some trouble.
He did, but still. It was a
I can't remember what it was exactly.
I don't remember what it was.
So this is one of the Hank Williams ones, but you have to listen and see if it's the one that you remember, because there's a lot of them. They all sounded a little bit different in their own way, so we're just trying this one out.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds familiar. It's the game of the week that's coming your way. Minnesota invades San Francisco Bay. Minnesota and San Francisco.
Yeah, he would always customize each one.
I was trying to remember what happened to Hank Williams Jr. That's the world we live in now, where we can't retain information like this like for long periods of time. He got kicked off of the theme because he made comments about Barack Obama. While Obama was in office, and ABC was like, we don't want that smoke. So they got rid of Hank Williams Jr., but then they brought him back in 2017 to start singing All My Rowdy Friends Are Here for Monday Night. So they brought him back. And so now, if I'm not mistaken, he does the theme now, I think. I believe he's the current guy that does it. So that so that's your approval one, Aaron? You with the Hank Williams Jr. one? Really?
Are you ready for some football?
Really?
So a Monday night party!
I am super confused in this episode of The Rundown. Because we started off this episode about police brutality and Jay-Z and all this other stuff. And now you're going to tell me out of all these themes that we're playing, the Hank Williams Jr. theme is the one that's your favorite one?
It's better than One Shining Moment.
I'm just checking. I'm just trying to figure this out because you got me messed up in here. I'm trying to figure out like where this is.
Hey, man, I'm a hard man to pin down.
No kidding.
Got to keep y'all on your toes.
I'm not a fan of that Hank Williams Jr. one.
What?
I don't know.
You ready for some football?
I mean,
Monday night party?
I prefer the original, that dun, 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 like that for
me.
Yeah,
that's classic.
Goes like longer back in my memory bank, I guess, but I don't
know. Just to have me jacked on Monday night.
That was classic. But
Hank Williams
used to get you right.
Yeah, he
did. I'm telling you, Hank, you.
I am
right.
Shocked.
A little rhyme in there. Like,
I am shocked that the panel's going this way.
Hank Williams was the first to customize each game.
Yeah, I respect.
You know,
creativity.
It just wasn't general. He had to do some work every week.
You got
to
respect the creativity.
I'm pushing Hank forward then. So Hank's gonna get pushed forward.
Gotta put some respect on Hank's name.
Go ahead, Sawyer.
Ooh. Oh, this college.
This is SEC football on CBS. Makes me think of Alabama just trucking somebody. Like, get ready for Alabama to score 35 on you real quick.
Alabama, LSU.
Yeah, Vern Lundquist, like all that stuff. Yeah, this is good too. Would you put that above the Hank Williams stuff? Wow, man, y'all are tough. Wow.
Those men Hank come with the heat, man.
So SEC on CBS gets no love.
Hank don't play around.
Man, all right. I think we got like two more. Go ahead, Sawyer. Jeez, I'm shocked. I thought that would linger a little bit longer. Y'all just like, nope, get it out of here. Hank Williams. Like, wow.
Oh. Candy right there.
NFL on Fox.
This
all
is the
I can think of is Panthers Nation.
I think of that big robot.
Oh, it's coming too. We're 2 weeks away.
It's
happening in my veins.
That's the big robot there. Holding the football.
Yeah.
All right, that's got to be up there. NFL on Fox. Jeez. All right, so out of the eight, we got one more. You got one more?
One more.
All right.
See if we can get it here.
Oh my gosh, this is gonna be hard. I've kind of got it narrowed to four. Oh, okay. I was like, what is this?
This carry.
This one don't even sound familiar.
because it's garbage.
Oh, y'all sound like some haters right now.
I thought she sang a different song.
She has a couple, I think.
I think there's different ones for, like, each week.
Oh,
garbage.
I thought she just switched up the teams or whatever. Like, I don't even remember this one.
This is from 2018, Sunday Night.
Oh,
this
wow.
This is a banger, man. This slaps. I don't know what y'all are talking about.
I mean, I must not have been catching the openings of Sunday Night Football a lot.
Y'all
are
still getting the snacks ready for the game or something.
Brandon, you got your headphones on too tight, bro.
Y'all missed this. Trash. Y'all don't have the volume up loud enough.
Oh, man. I don't think that one's going to get passed.
Carrie gets you right for Sunday night. Right before you got to go.
Oh, well, Carrie Underwood.
Right before you got to go to work on Monday. Look, sweet Carrie singing you into Sunday Night Football.
I picked Carrie Underwood in the audition stage of American Idol. I was like, that's her. That's the one. She's
and that's
win
why
it.
This
she
doesn't work it for sports theme because you're thinking about American Idol.
Oh, it works, and that's why they use it.
She had a weak season, too. There wasn't nobody
trash
in it.
So we have four, right?
Yeah, I think we got four. I got NBA on NBC.
Okay, let's play them at a time.
Okay.
A couple of seconds. Because
we got to eliminate some of these.
NBA, is this the one we were thinking of?
NBA, yes.
Okay, so that's the first one. That's number one.
Tapping in my veins. That's classic. I'm sorry. That trumps Hank Williams. That is look. This is
out of here. By any means.
This is trying to get ahead of ourselves. Play the rest of them.
I think that needs to advance to the championship round. March Madness on CBS. Oh my gosh.
I think that's the one for me.
We're going to have to pick one basketball one and one football one. That'll make it fair. So you got to pick between NBA on NBC or March Madness on CBS.
I'm taking March Madness.
I take March Madness.
Wow.
I'm taking Carolina basketball.
Yeah.
Last year I spent March Madness out in Vegas and heard this, and that was so fun.
So
and that puts
drunk
me in that.
Well, that don't even really.
Disrespect to John Tesh in here is ridiculous. Disrespectful to John Tesh.
March Madness, baby.
And you disrespect to Jordan.
Tar Heels basketball, that's all you think of, right? Like, NBA,
yes, sir.
I get that you think of the Michael, but, like, the Tar Heels is, like, what I think of. And it hits me. It's like, yeah.
Sawyer hit me with the Carolina. ACC all right, fine. Country. March Madness moves on. So, March Madness on CBS has moved on to championship. The other side is Monday Night Football, the original. See, man, I already know how y'all going to do this. I already know how y'all going to do this. I didn't even.
This is tough. That's classic, right?
That's
there.
The, I mean.
That's classic.
That's hard.
That take me back to LT.
They're still
the
playing it. Like, they still play
and
this
Jerry
in
Rice
the games. Yeah. Dallas Cowboy triplets. Get Emmitt on a Monday night. Troy Aikman. Stop it. When the Redskins were good.
That's great.
remember when the Redskins were good?
You mean when the Fat Boys were
good?
Yeah,
remember when they had the Hogs? They had the Hogs, man. Mark Rippon out there. You know when they was good?
Yeah,
remember when they was good? Like 25 years ago when they was good?
Yeah, when they had John Riggins.
Yeah, you know. Art Monk.
Yeah. Oh, Daryl Green.
Back when it was good.
Daryl Green had the long sleeve jersey.
Yeah. Fastest man in the NFL. Every year until he was like 38, he was still blowing people out.
Oh, and then this is
and then we had the I am
Are you ready for football? Monday night party.
Hey boy, look. You're getting ready. You're getting all your stuff together for Monday night.
Visibly
you
upset.
Hank, boy. Yeah.
You're like,
checklist.
I am visibly upset with this turn of events. I did not realize Hank Williams was going to advance this far. As a matter of fact, he was an afterthought. We just added him in. Right?
30 seconds in.
Hank Williams brings the noise.
Hank Williams, baby. I'm Hank Williams.
All right, so we got Hank Williams. Hank Williams, Monday Night Football theme. Versus March Madness
Wait,
on CBS.
How are we going to run Carrie out? We didn't even get Carrie out.
Man, Carrie ain't in this conversation,
though. Yeah, she never made it. She never made it to the top four.
Are you kidding me? Where is the respect?
All right, who votes for Carrie? Raise
I vote
your
for Carrie. I'm putting my
he
hand.
The only
look,
one.
Hey, I vote my hand
yeah,
for Carrie.
Yeah, Brandon, you the only one.
Out
you
out here.
Y'all just don't know good music. Y'all don't know good football in.
March. Okay, so March Madness on CBS, their theme versus the Hank Williams Monday Night Football theme song.
Oh, we didn't do Fox. We didn't do Fox.
It didn't make it. Y'all picked Hank Williams.
Who picked Hank Williams?
Who picked Hank Williams?
I think it's just Aaron. I think it was just Aaron.
I picked Hank Williams.
Oh, wait a minute. Hank Williams snuck in here when he was supposed to be in here. Because only two of y'all picked Hank Williams.
I'm Fox.
I will take Fox over Hank Williams.
All right, okay. All right. Bye, Hank. Get out of here, Hank. So Hank is not in the final then. So it's really March Madness on CBS versus the NFL on Fox thing.
This right here? Yeah, this right here is gold standard. This joint just makes me feel violent.
I'm thinking about cooking wings at 12:30 in the afternoon.
Wings right now.
I got my whole layout set up.
Yeah,
my,
they do this one for the playoffs.
Set
too,
your
right?
fantasy yeah, lineup. All season. Fantasy lineup.
My entire family has abandoned that side of the house. Like, they don't come over there from 1 to 4:30 or so. They're literally, like, my kids and wife are in the back of the house somewhere. They don't want to hear me screaming at Cam Newton and who, Joe Buck or whoever's calling the game. They don't want to hear it, so they're just in the back. Man, put us up against March Madness.
Nah, I'm March Madness just because heels. Nothing gets me wound up quite as Sario basketball. So
see,
that's
we should
me.
Have pulled One Shining Moment because I think I would have picked One Shining Moment over March Madness.
One I'm taking moment. Carry definitely we over One Shining
Moment. That's why we play it once a year.
That's what makes it special.
No, that's what makes it trash.
If we, see if you can find One Shining Moment real quick. Just it's going to sneak in here and it's going to take it over.
This is the 2019 March Madness One Shining Moment.
Let me get my pillow ready.
Yeah! This tournament is a champion. This is the only one that makes me emotional. Like, I get emotional listening to One Shining Moment. The ball is tipped.
I don't even remember this.
You're running for your life. You remember this?
I don't even remember this.
It's like the video they show, the video recap. They
yeah.
Put this up.
You can see all the
Luke,
guys
Luke
crying.
May come walking down the court with
Luke
One Shining Moment.
May's shot against Kentucky. The Carol,
Fletcher
the
McGee.
This is my pick.
Al Zion behind the back. Woo! Layup.
Talk to him, sorry. This is my pick.
Ja Morant, poster. Shot down the lane.
Yeah, we're talking about highlights right now from one specific season.
The song accentuates
this
the highlights.
Song is
the taco
so
fall
trash.
With a dunk that he doesn't have to jump on.
Duke escaping like multiple
and
1 point
wins.
This is supposed
to be for sports.
Yeah.
It is.
Right this one shot a moment.
This is like the recap video.
They play this at the end of every national championship game.
Oh,
Winter.
I'm gone.
Rod don't even know what this is.
Rod's over like, what is this?
Yeah, exactly. It's garbage.
He's like the credits for instantly, bro.
Go watch the 2017. Go download One Shot a Moment 2017 on YouTube. And it's the Carolina one when they won.
Yeah.
Because it actually shows them from the beginning to the end, kind of. You get to see the whole thing. The Luke May shot's giving me shivers right now thinking about it's a One Shot a Moment.
This is what you play after a beauty pageant.
So there's nothing better than March Madness. So anything that has to do with March Madness, I'm going to vote for because it's the best time of the year.
All right, so we got – okay, so we're going – so One Shining Moment was fun, but it didn't make the final, sadly. So it's NFL on Fox or March Madness on CBS. Let's go around the room. Aaron.
NFL on Fox.
All right. Sawyer.
March Madness.
Damn. Rod.
NFL.
Damn. Brandon.
I'm going to go March Madness.
Oh, I hate y'all.
Dez. Do the right thing, Dave.
NFL's coming up like in 2 weeks.
Do the right thing, Dave.
Don't let it. Don't play your judgment during day. March, though.
Do the right
March,
thing.
Think about March when it
March
comes around.
Just hits different. The madness hits a little different.
How about this? The winner is
something like.
I'm going to tell you right after this, right next after the break. I'll tell you my winner here, and we're going to do odds and ends too. Next on the rundown.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah.
Going to be one big party.
Yeah,
back to the rundown with Desmond Johnson.
I was still trying to decide all the way through that commercial break, and I think Sawyer just tipped the scales. I'm going March Madness on CBS.
That's cheating.
Producer, I'm the producer. I get to pick.
Oh, my God. Download full episodes of The Rundown on SportsHubTriad.com, Spotify, Google, Apple, and more. Simply search for The Rundown with Desmond Johnson. Download it and go. Odds and ends. This is how we end the show every week. Sawyer, set a stop clock. And at the end of, I think we're going to have to go 30 seconds on this.
Yeah, not a very long question.
Yeah. Rapid fire. Let's go ahead and go.
All right. Starting off, another week has gone by. Still no signing or sight of Zeke Elliott. What are the odds he misses the entire season?
Pretty damn good at this point, I think. I think he's willing to sit it out.
I mean, if they don't pay him, he's not going
to
play.
Yeah, he's so willing either. To pull the Le'Veon Bell. And I got a feeling that Jerry Jones is not going to pay him.
Did Dak make them choose by asking for that big contract?
He
has 2 years left on his deal. So Jerry Jones is like, look, we got a great line of scrimmage. we'll pull in Alfred Morris and let Alfred Morris run the
show. That's what I'm saying. Do they have the money to sign them both, though? Is Dak kind of
I heard they had contracts out that would make Amari, Dak, and Zeke top five in their positions. Like, all
they
three
would,
of them have contracts
would,
out there.
But next year, the whole team would break up. They would have to win this season if he did, if he signed all three of them.
Sorry.
All right, next. Rockets general manager Daryl Morey said this week that James Harden is a better scorer than Michael Jordan was. Is Morey high? And if so, what drug is he on?
He's more creative.
No, I'm going to say he's high, and I'm going to say he's high on prescription medication.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's high, and he on crack.
In the
world is James Harden better scorer than Michael Jordan?
No, he's a more creative in that.
Traveling is not creative, Brandon.
It's not traveling in the league. In the NBA, it's not traveling. But he's got a few more moves, I think.
Brandon, have you watched Michael Jordan?
I have. I'm familiar with the Laney High School process.
How old were you in 1993, Brandon?
One.
Next.
UFC 241 tonight on ESPN. Who wins? Daniel Cormier versus Stipe Miocic, the only man to ever defend the heavyweight championship three consecutive times. Cormier is the champ with a 22-1 record. Who wins tonight? And I've told Aaron, I am so ready.
You're a UFC fan, yeah.
8 o'clock on, I'm locking myself in my room. I'm losing all the fights. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm ready to see.
Well, this is probably a good question to ask you, because you're the UFC guy in the room. Who you got?
Cormier is a wrestler. He's short. He's stocky. Stipe's tall, long. Last time, Cormier knocked him out first round with the right hand. I don't think Stipe knew that was coming, because he's never really fought someone like Cormier. I think he's going to keep his reach and keep himself away from Cormier. And Cormier, I've taken him to the ground and wrestle him all five rounds, and we'll see what happens.
Wait a minute. You didn't pick... I was like, who you think's going to win?
I think Cormier still wins, just because he's really good. He's the best behind Jon Jones.
Is that going to happen, Cormier and Jon Jones? Is that going to happen?
If it is, it's probably going to be a light heavyweight. So Cormier will have to cut like 45 pounds, yeah.
Oh, God.
And he's a big boy right now.
I figure Cormier's going to end up in the WWE eventually. That sounds like something that could happen.
Yeah, he's still like
some weight. He's like 235, he's like 5'11".
Yeah. All right, one more. Who will have a better rookie season, Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, or Dwayne Haskins?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Daniel Jones.
He looked good in their preseason game.
Man, don't fall for that, man. 5 for 5.
But I'm going to say Kyler Murray, though.
It's week one.
Kyler Murray because I think he'll get the most opportunities.
I'm going to go Dwayne Haskins, actually. He's the one that no one's really talking about, so he doesn't have the same type of expectations,
he's
I guess.
He's slept on when, I mean, they over.
And the Redskins have a good defense.
But he's got to beat out Case Keenum.
Yeah.
I think Peyton's going to stink up. I mean, Manning is going to stink up the joint, and then they're going to put in Daniel Jones, and he's going to come in and have some pretty good.
Download the free WSJS Sports Hub app from Google Play or iTunes. We'll be back next Saturday. Peace.